Now, if you listened to our programme last week, you'll have heard us discussing global warming and the fact that significant temperature increases have been recorded in the southern oceans, along with glaciers melting in western Antarctica. Well, this week the focus shifted to the northern hemisphere, with the Daily Mail running an article with the headline, "Myth of Arctic Meltdown: Stunning Satellite Images Show Summer Ice Cap is Thicker and Covers 1.7 million square kilometres more than 2 years ago," despite Al Gore's prediction it would be ice-free by now. The article showed a graph charting a steady decline in ice coverage over the last 10 years, and then a rebound where ice cover appears to have doubled in the last 2 years. Listener Aaron Hurwitz was confused and wrote in to ask how this squares with the global warming that researchers claim is occurring. With us is Professor Eric Wolfe from the University of Cambridge. So Eric, what's going on here? Why does it look as though the Arctic ice sheets are recovering?
So we're talking about the ice that's frozen on top of the Arctic Ocean, and every year at the end of winter there's a maximum amount of ice that covers most of the Arctic Ocean, most of what you'd see between Siberia and Canada and Greenland, and then that retreats by somewhere between 50% and 70% at the moment during each summer. So what they're looking at is the average amount of ice in August, so pretty close to the minimum. And that's clearly trending downwards quite rapidly by around about 10% every decade. But it does vary from year to year because of various natural reasons. And 2012, which is the year that the Daily Mail picks on as 2 years ago, happened to be a really low year. And 2014 actually looks very similar to 2013. So if you take any 10-year period in the record that I've got in front of me, then it just looks like a lot of noise, actually. It just looks as though it's going up and down. But as soon as you look at the whole 37 years that we've got satellite data, it's very obvious that the sea ice is decreasing. 2014 is still lower than any year between the beginning of the satellite record in 1979 and 2006, so it's certainly not a high sea ice year.
So it's not really that the ice is recovering as such, it's just sort of natural fluctuations.
Yeah, there's natural fluctuations, just as you wouldn't expect. You know, as you come into summer, you don't expect every day to be warmer than the one before, and it's the same thing as we're losing the ice slowly as due to global warming. You don't expect every year to be lower than the one before. There are lots of meteorological factors that can affect it.
So this doesn't shed any doubt in your mind on the idea of global warming is happening and it is having these effects on the Arctic?
No, none at all. I'm afraid there isn't really good news here. The amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is continuing to increase pretty rapidly. That inevitably means that temperatures will warm. It won't be uniform around the globe and it won't be the same every year. Sometimes more heat goes into the ocean, sometimes more goes into the atmosphere. But I'm afraid as the Arctic warms, the ice does melt.
So what is it that's causing these natural fluctuations within that kind of downwards trend?
Well, it's mainly due to the meteorology in the Arctic, which determines how the ice moves around, because the amount of sea ice that's left is not only a function of the temperature of the ocean and the atmosphere, but it's also a function of where the ice actually gets moved to by the winds. So, for instance, in 2012, part of the cause was that just before, sometime in August, there was a big storm at a time when the ice was already quite thin, and that big storm just broke the ice up and moved it all southwards into an area where it could melt. And that wasn't the complete reason. There are lots of things that push the ice around and put it in one area or another, somewhere that's colder or somewhere that's warmer. But that does mean there can be quite big variations from year to year, actually, especially at this point of the year when the ice is already quite thin.
So if there are so many factors going on, how do you go about making predictions about how the ice will be affected? I mean, there was this prediction from Al Gore that it would have all gone by now. How did he get that so wrong?
He was quoting a study that said that it might have disappeared by now, and he made it sound as though he thought it would. But he got a little over-enthusiastic, I'm afraid. So what you do, I'm afraid the only way you can predict the future, because we haven't seen it yet, is by using models. Those models are based on the best physics that we have of understanding both how the climate works and how the ice responds to the climate. And so all you can do is to run these models with and without changing levels of carbon dioxide. And what the models are saying, it's a whole range of models from different countries, is that around this time of year, the ice will virtually have gone. There'll be a little bit of ice here and there, but a few percent only. The ice will virtually have gone by 2050. So it's not this year, it's not next year, it's not the best bet, but it's not going to come back again either. So sometime within the next few decades.
So you're putting all this kind of data that you have into a computer model and sort of simulating the future. But different people are still making different predictions. So how can the public decide who to trust?
They're all making predictions that the ice is going to reduce. If you now run the model through the last 30 or 40 years, they're actually doing pretty well. They don't get quite as big fluctuations as we've seen, but they're not doing too badly. But all the models would predict that the ice is going to reduce. Exactly when there's no ice in September differs from model to model. If you think that we need to take action, you'll still think it, whether it's 2040 or 2070. And if you don't really care about it, then you still think you don't care about it.
So not good news, unfortunately, then. Thank you. That was Professor Eric Wolfe with his thoughts on the ongoing story of global warming.